with Will Johnson. Only at band.video.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. My name is Will Johnson. This is Firepower News with Tom Pepper. Okay. Last night, the debate was a glance into the future, a possible future for America. The opening, they opened with how they can remove President Trump with an impeachment inquiry simply because they hate the man. They've been calling for him to be removed from office the night of November 8, 2016. First, it started with a push to the delegates to get them not to vote the way the American people asked them to vote, or the way the American people voted. When that didn't work, they started the whole Russia collusion delusion investigation. Yes, the investigation that took place before President Trump won the election in 2016. Yes, that investigation. The Democrats openly say that they want to take our Second Amendment rights away. They were saying this last night, along with the First Amendment. Starting with President Trump, they want to silence President Trump from talking to the American people, starting with his Twitter. And you think you have 1 second to think that if they're going to do it to President Trump, you believe that they're not going to do it to you? Oh, but wait, they have been doing it to the American people. They've already been silencing the American people. And the only thing that has been done about the silence of the American people is that they generated a list of complaints. Nothing else has been done. Only complaints. They've gathered complaints, but they're still silencing the American people. And like I said, if they're going to silence President Trump, the rest of us are nothing compared. Instead of suggesting, you hear me? Instead of the Democrats suggesting, American people should wait until they get married to have sex, to bring another child into the world, they're convincing people to live in a sinful lifestyle. And they're convincing them to abort the children so they don't have to take responsibility for their actions. They're giving people a pass to commit an act without any penalty. Under the Obama administration, America was becoming a godless nation. President Obama and the other Democrats have been removing God from society for years. And we're seeing more of it. They removed God from their DNC. They took a vote in the DNC to remove God and overwhelmingly voted yes to remove God. But see, God, he has heard our prayers. And with the blessings that we have received through our almighty God and through President Trump, this country is back on track. Making America great again has been accomplished. Keeping America great means voting Trump 2020. That's how we keep America great again. My name is Will Johnson. This is FirepowerNews.com. Tom Pepper will be joining me after the break. God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless our president, Donald J. Trump. We'll be back in a minute.
number of candidates for a presidential primary debate, so to accommodate the large group, there are no opening statements tonight.
Impeachment.
How many of you have noticed stores closing where you work and live here in Ohio? Raise your hands.
Impeachment. A school teacher are making $100,000 a year. Their plan put forward that will work.
Impeach. That's all they want to do. Impeach. That's not the only thing. You know what? Forgive me. I misspoken. That's not the only thing they want to do. It's not the only thing they want to do by impeaching President Trump. They also want to destroy America. How can I leave that out? They most definitely want to destroy America as well. So hello, everyone. My name is Will Johnson. Joining us is Tom Pepper. This is FirePowerNews.com. We're going to go over this clown show that we were watching last night, and we're going to answer the questions how we think they should have been answered as Americans, for Americans. All right. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing all right, Will. I'm excited to be here on the Democrat debate stage tonight. This is going to be a refreshing bit of truth, I hope, for the audience at home as we compare our answers to the Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Let me say this. We did a contest last night that I was going to give away a Trump is your president T-shirt. And Alex Jones said and $1,000 for anyone who joined, connected with the Firepower Twitter account. So I have that list, and at the end of the show, before it's all said and done, I will announce that person. So I just want to get that out there now. So I want to thank you, Tom, again. Hey, it's Monday. Happy to see you. Is it Monday? No, it's not Monday. Oh, this is a debate stage, right? I'm playing Joe Biden's role. Gotcha. All right. Well, cool. So Tom, before we get into this, let me ask you, what was your overview of the debate from last night?
You know, there were a couple surprising moments, Will. For the most part, it was your standard, let's see who can say the craziest thing. Mm. But what was really gripping to me was when they were discussing big tech. That was by far the most out of left field, literally left field moment of the debate, where you had all of the candidates saying, well, I think we should regulate social media so conservatives can't win anymore. And then another one would one up them and say, no, we need to use antitrust laws to break up big tech. That way conservatives can't win anymore. And it became this entire argument about, well, I think we should ban Trump from Twitter. Well, I think that we should ban all conservatives from Twitter. It was some of the most absurd television I've ever seen. And of course, the moderators did nothing to challenge any of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a clip. So the idea is for us to play the clips, and they're going to answer the questions, and we're going to come behind them, and we're going to give our answers to these same questions. So we're going to try to see if we can make this happen, make it work. Okay, so let's go with this first clip that we have here. We just played the one with the term on impeachment, but I guess this is going to be number two on our list. Let's go with that clip.
If impeachment is driven by these hyper-partisan interests, it will only further divide an already terribly divided country. Unfortunately, this is what we've already seen play out as calls for impeachment really began shortly after Trump won his election, and as unhappy as that may make us as Democrats, he won that election in 2016. The serious issues that have been raised around this phone call that he had with the president of Ukraine and many other things that transpired around that are what caused me to support the inquiry in the House. And I think that it should continue to play its course out, to gather all the information, provide that to the American people, recognizing that that is the only way forward. If the House votes to impeach, the Senate does not vote to remove Donald Trump. He walks out and he feels exonerated, further deepening the divides in this country that we cannot afford.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity to come up here and speak to the American people and give our spiel about if President Trump should be impeached or not. Okay, so with that said, no, President Trump should not be impeached because he hasn't done anything wrong. You know, there is this thing called due process in America. You have to be found guilty of something to, you know, be committed for a crime even. But see, in this case, what's happening with the other people here on the panel, on the stage, the Democrats, you leftists, what's happening here is that They're saying that we have to keep looking until we find something to impeach President Trump on. Well, how long do we continue to look? Do we continue to look until everybody is a skeleton? And there's a few people here on the Democrat stage that's going to make that, reach that, you know, level skeleton before the rest of us. But anyways, I digress. So I don't think President Trump should be impeached. No, actually, he should not be impeached. It's not even about me thinking about it. So I want to thank you for that opportunity to give my answer on that. And no, he should not be impeached. Tom?
No. This feels like we should have an applause track like a 1980s sitcom, but I will say that I am very unhappy being here on this Democrat debate stage because I'm seeing far too many American flags. There's one behind me. This is the Democrat Party. We need the Chinese flag. Maybe we can do something about that. But should President Trump be impeached? Well, no, of course not. The man has committed no crimes. I am shocked that I can agree with a Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who said, of course, this is politically motivated. And it, I did disagree with her, however. It made me extremely happy in November of 2016 when President Trump was elected. I believe not only should he be reelected in 2020, we should reelect him in 2024, 2028. Hey, maybe the next 40,000 years. Let's see how long we can kick this can down the track.
16 years. Oh, yes, yes, yes. 16 more years. 16. Oh, okay. See, they applaud to you, but they didn't applaud to me. What's up with that? Hey, fro liberals. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it looked like we're turning them over. We're red pilling the liberals out in the crowd. So these socialist communists, you need to wake up.
Well, I mentioned that we should be bowing to China and capitulating to China. And as we all know, we all love Chairman Mao. We love Winnie the Pooh. We hate America. We love basketball. Go China.
Absolutely. So, you know, this whole thing with the impeachment, it is going to divide the country. It is dividing the country. And what is this? Nancy Pelosi said we're not going to take a vote on the floor. Why not, Nancy? I mean, what possible reason do you have not to take a vote on the floor, Nancy? Oh, is it possible you don't have the votes? Is it possible you know if you do this, it's going to show division with inside of the Democrat Party because the Democrats know that they're going to lose? I mean, could it possibly be that?
You know, Will, I was reading an article about this earlier today, and reports are that top Democrats in seats that could be easily lost to Republicans, these are seats that Trump or states and areas that President Trump carried in 2016 and will likely carry in 2020, they are living in fear because they know if they vote for the impeachment of a president who has done nothing wrong, only for it to almost certainly inevitably die in the Senate, they know that they could very well lose their seat. I mean, this could be Nancy Pelosi's biggest blunder in her 30 or 40 or 50 years of political history that this woman has under her belt. She could lose the House for the Democrats in a landslide if she calls for this vote. So I join with President Trump and the Republicans in saying, hey, yeah, let's take a vote. Let's get this train moving. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Now they're saying, oh, yeah, even Republicans are calling for it. They should do it. But like you just said, and you know what? I really want this to crush the Democrat Party. I mean, how long is the Democrat Party going to be able to continue with tyranny, is like I like to say it, against the American people? How long are they going to be able to do this? All of the stuff that they've done, nothing, has there been anything? Has there been anything that the Democrats have done since President Trump has been in office that has benefited the American people?
You know, and you know, I'm saying things they have done. It's because President Trump dragged them by the collar over the finish line.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can't think of one thing that they said, okay, we're going to present this and do this for the American people because this is where we are. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help the American people out. But no, they completely do the opposite. It's just like what President Trump said. Maybe I should have been against the wall in the first place. If I would have been against the wall, they'd have been like, no, we have to put up a wall. We have to put up a wall. If you give a rope to liberals in a pit of snakes, they are so upset with President Trump that they would cut the rope. That's how it is. They would cut the rope. All right. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, FirepowerNews.com. We'll be back with the crazy, insane debate from last night with the Democrats. See you in a minute.
this country to enforce the law. I expect Republicans, Democrats, gun owners, non-gun owners alike
Congressman,
to
let me follow up.
Follow the law.
Just to follow up, your expectations aside, your website says you will find people who don't give up their weapons. That doesn't take those weapons off the street. So to be clear, exactly how are you going to take away weapons from people who do not want to give them up and you don't know where they are?
If someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, or brings it out in public and brandishes it in an attempt to intimidate, as we saw when we were at Kent State recently, then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement. But the expectation is that Americans will follow the law. I believe in this country. I believe in my fellow Americans. I believe that they will do the right
thing.
Thank
you. Mr. Mayor Buttigieg, just yesterday you referred to mandatory buybacks as confiscation and said that Congressman O'Rourke has been picking a fight to try to stay relevant. Your response on guns.
All right. Welcome back. So we are on the Democrat debate stage tonight, and I want to thank everyone for joining us. And Tom Pepper and I, we are going to answer the question about taking everyone's guns, taking your Second Amendment rights away. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so first of all, we should not be infringing on people's rights. You know, the U.S. Constitution was put in place for a reason. So the government, what gets out of hand, like the Democrats are trying to do, can't just go around and just start murdering everybody, you know, because everyone has their ability to protect themselves. Not only that, because of the Second Amendment, I can protect my family in my home. You know, in some places you can, there is a stand your ground, you know, you have that as well. But for someone to go around and take up the AR-15s, Beto, I think it's really bad that you would do such a thing. And in the AK-47, what happens when they need something to protect themselves from the killer coming into their home, trying to murder them, trying to rob them, trying to take it, you know, their family? So what do you, why would you prevent someone from protecting themselves? You know, I mean, of course, Beto, you're not going to answer it because you don't have an answer. And I don't expect one from you other than you're saying that the American people are going to do the right thing and just give them up to you. No, I don't think so.
What Beto, my esteemed colleague, is referring to here is what will start armed conflict and what we are all trying to avoid. Beto wants to tear apart the Constitution and put it in a paper shredder because he thinks guns are scary. He is talking about a door-to-door military-style confiscation of firearms that will only end in many, many people dead. This is scary stuff that is being debated in a mainstream forum on the Democrat debate stage. There was a time where Democrats only claimed that no, we just want background checks. Now you hear it every single day coming from Beto O'Rourke, who, by the way, in your yearbook, Beto, I find it very interesting that you're referred to solely as Robert Francis. Even in the more informal areas like a club, you're referred to as Robert Francis. So Robert Francis is calling for a civil war. He is calling for a door-to-door military-style gun confiscation, just like happened in China, just like happened in Cuba, just like happened in Nazi Germany, and just like happened, yes, in Venezuela. It will only end in destruction. And I do wish that we could get an answer from Mr. O'Rourke on why he lied to the good people of Texas in 2018 when he went on a Texas radio show and said, if you have an AR-15, if you have an AK-47, good, I hope you use it legally. Keep it. I'm not trying to take your guns. He is a devoted liar, apparently, by that statement alone, and I find it deplorable that the moderators for the debate would not do a simple Google search and fact check Beto and ask again, why did he lie?
Exactly, exactly. Oh, what is this? We have Beto O'Rourke or Robert Francis O'Rourke and Buttigieg arguing about the gun ban. Let's go to that clip.
And number four. I don't need lessons from you on courage, political or personal. Everyone on this stage is determined to get something done. Everyone on this stage recognizes, or at least I thought we did, that the problem is not other Democrats who don't agree with your particular idea of how to handle this. The problem is the National Rifle Association and their enablers in Congress, and we should be united in taking the fight to them.
That's a mischaracterization, Anderson. I've got to answer this. Never took you or anyone else on who disagrees with me on this issue. But when you,
Mayor Buttigieg, described this policy as a shiny object. I don't care what that meant to me or my candidacy, but to those who have survived gun violence, those who've lost a loved one to an AR-15, an AK-47, marched for our lives, formed in the courage of students willing to stand up to the NRA and conventional politics and poll-tested politicians. That was a slap in the face to every single one of those groups and every single survivor of a mass casualty assault with an AR-15 and an AK-47. We must buy them back.
Okay, you know what? Beto is off his rocker because instead of trying to remove the ability for people to protect themselves, why not teach people how to protect themselves? And then you have Buttigieg wanting to go after the NRA. You know what? The NRA teamed up with the Republican Party right after slavery to give black people firearms so they can protect themselves from the Democrat KKK party. Ever since then, the Democrats have been trying to figure out some kind of way to take out the NRA. Because they have a personal vendetta, the same way CNN has a personal vendetta against President Trump, the Democrat Party has a personal vendetta against the NRA because they help black people. Tom?
You know, this is a rare moment, Will, because I think I agree in a small way with Mayor Pete Buttigieg, because the NRA of today is not the NRA of the 20th century or the 19th century. The NRA of 2019 was willing to accept extra background checks. The NRA of 2019 was pro bump stock ban. The NRA of 2019 was, until they found out their membership was going to revolt, they were completely fine with national red flag laws. So I agree, Mayor Pete. The NRA is part of the problem. They're not standing up for our rights nearly enough. We need a more aggressive group like NAGR or perhaps Gun Owners of America to take the mantle and keep gun-grabbing control freak psychopaths like you from literally starting a civil war with your door-to-door gun confiscation scams.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go with this next clip. This is one from CNN talking to Robert Francis O'Rourke about mass shooters. I mean, where is he going? I mean, he doesn't even know where he's going. Let's go to it.
I fully expect my fellow Americans to follow the law.
You expect mass shooters to follow the law?
Our fellow Americans will follow the law. Yes.
Congressman, mass shooters don't fall by definition.
I expect American citizens to follow the law. But you know what? I was kind of surprised that you even had CNN ask that very basic question. What about the mass shooters? What about the violent people that's not going to turn in their firearms? It's amazing.
The fact is, these are people, these mass shooters, who they're going out to murder people. Last time I checked, murder has never been legal in the history of this country. But, you know, there's a big red elephant in the room, and I don't mean the Republican traitors who are cucking to China over censorship. But there is a big red elephant in the room, and it's called mental illness. An overwhelming majority of these shooters, I believe all but one or maybe two, have been on some form of SSRI or antidepressant or something along those lines. These people are not going to follow your laws, Beto. You're going to have to kill them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of the plan. Socialism, communism, all throughout history, remove the ability for people to protect themselves and then just start slaughtering them. Firepowernews.com.
Weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, only at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Firepowernews.com. All right, so Tom Pepper and myself, we are going through the debate from last night at the Democrat town or Democrat debate for the presidential election for 2020. God help us. I mean, none of them can hold a candle to President Trump, but, I guess they have to try because, they have nothing else better to do other than try to impeach the president, take out America and, you know, confuse our children, you know, tell everyone abortion is okay. But anyways, I digress. So Tom, so right before when we left, we were showing how Beto, you know, is saying that Oh yeah, all the American people, you're gonna turn your guns in. They're gonna turn them in. They don't want to protect their families. They don't care about any of that. They're just gonna do what they're told because the government is saying so. Why would anyone believe anything that he's saying? And you know what? We have to give it to Robert Francis O'Rourke. At least he's being honest about their whole agenda. I mean, we have to give that to him.
Well, and it was, I mean, they were bickering, but it was Mayor Pete Buttigieg who was just recently saying, look, gun control is about power. The government needs the power to take away these weapons. I mean, they are, you're right, Will, they've been foreshadowing this for years, never admitting that they wanted to take our guns away. And now they're just out there for the whole world to see, yeah, we're going to go door to door. We're going to take your guns, and the mass killers, the would-be mass killers, they're going to behave. They're going to act like normal, non-homicidal maniacs, and they're just going to give up their guns. It's this great fantasy that they're living in. Of course, it's not going to work. It hasn't worked in places like Chicago, where gun crime is going through the roof every single weekend. It's more conflict and more guns fired and people injured there than in Iraq. It's a miserable place to live. Baltimore, similar situation. All of these Democrat-infested big cities, you can't say rat-infested, but I think we can call them Democrat-infested big cities, have gun control, and it doesn't work whatsoever.
Absolutely, it doesn't work. Okay, so the next part of the debate here is healthcare, taxes and healthcare. So we have a clip with Buttigieg, however you want to say it, where he's, let's just go to this clip with Buttigieg and then we'll give our answers.
Into law that does not lower costs for middle-class families.
Mayor Buttigieg, you say Senator Warren has been, quote, evasive about how she's going to pay for Medicare for All. What's your response?
Well, we heard it tonight, a yes or no question that didn't get a yes or no answer. Look, this is why people here in the Midwest are so frustrated with Washington in general and Capitol Hill in particular. Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything except this. No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in. And the thing is, we really can deliver health care for every American and move forward with the boldest, biggest transformation since the inception of Medicare itself. But the way to do it without a giant multi-trillion dollar hole and without having to avoid a yes or no question is Medicare for all who want it. We take a version of Medicare, we let you access it if you want to, and if you prefer to stay on your private plan, you can do that too. That is what most Americans want. Medicare for all who want it, trusting you to make the right decision for your health care and for your family, and it can be delivered.
Thank you, Mayor.
Without an increase in
Senator, your response.
So I mean, isn't it kind of like that now? I mean, if you really think about it, you know, if you apply yourself, you go get a job and the job has health care, you can get health care and no one is stopping you from buying it now. I mean, you can apply for it. The problem here is that the Democrats on the stage, they want to take from everyone else and give it to those who don't even want to apply themselves just a little bit even. Just a little bit and give it to them and say, hey, don't worry about it. Don't even think about trying to get a job. Don't even think about trying to be someone. Don't even try to think about applying yourself at all because we're going to take care of you. Just remember, every time it's time to vote, we gave you something. But no, we're not going to go with that.
Will, it is ironic that everyone on that stage, or many of the people, I should say, not all of them are elected to Congress, but they're largely responsible for ruining American healthcare with the disastrous Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. Yeah, right. Healthcare costs have driven through the roof. People now have a deductible that is $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 just so they can afford whatever their monthly payment comes to. I know multiple different small companies, my own small business, I used to be able to offer healthcare. I can no longer do that because now you look at it and it would be all right. So you, Mr. Employee, you're making, $3,000-$4,000 a month, decent number for Wichita. I'm going to need you to pay $2,500 of that in for the healthcare, health insurance, and then we'll also put $2,500 a month in. It's totally unfeasible and insurmountable. And the result is if you're not working for one of these mega corporations, you're not going to probably even get health insurance through a company. And of course, the whole thing is so tilted insulted because I am one of the few people on this country, in this country, who could afford health insurance because I'm a young man. They are punishing the voters, the baby boomers, the Generation X, the greatest generation, those who are still around. They are punishing these people so they can give to young millennials who don't even want health insurance. I'm statistically the least likely to need it. They've destroyed the healthcare system. It wasn't perfect before because of more government meddling in the last century. And now this is all by design. I mean, they came up with Obamacare so they could destroy the health insurance system. The healthcare system, the cost would go through the roof. And then they could pave the way for single payer. And now you have these Democrats, Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg, Buddy Gig, Butt Guy, whatever you say his name, Butt Guy, is trying desperately to say, no, my version of socialism is better than your version of socialism.
Exactly.
My version of single payer is marginally better than yours. They're grasping at straws.
That is very good. My version of socialism is better than your version of socialism. I love it. I love it. You know what? So Robert Francis O'Rourke, a.k.a. Beto, he's telling, hey, we need to level, the Democrats need to level with the American people. Really? I mean, he's seriously saying we need to level because Elizabeth Warren, she would not admit. I mean, it takes every fiber in her to say that, oh, yeah, the middle class, you're going to have to pay. She will not say it. She was like, I don't care how many times you stick it with a needle. She is not going to say it. But Beto O'Rourke, he lets it out. Let's go to that.
You don't want to offend anybody. That's
maybe,
not what
maybe
I'm saying.
Maybe it's an opportunity for Senator Warren.
Yeah, see, I like that positive spin. That's why I wear the black suit. It's always cynical. She's having a hard time owning the reality that Medicare for All means tax increases for the middle class. The argument is it will offset ultimately with cost. Costs will come down, but taxes are going to go up. She will not say the taxes will go up part. Why?
I don't know. And I wish that she would just come out and say it one way or the other.
Did you know that she would not answer the question when you brought it up the way you did on the stage?
I've known that in the past she has refused to answer the question. And I just think on something as fundamentally important as healthcare, for all the reasons she cares about it and that I care about it and that we all care about it, we've really got to level with the American people about how we will accomplish universal, guaranteed, high quality care. And one of the differences between our two plans is in hers, you're forced to leave your private insurance and go to Medicare. You don't lose insurance. You're just going to be forced to go to Medicare. And in mine, we're going to have universal care, but those who have a plan that works for them and their families, members of unions who fought and negotiated for those plans are able to keep them if they work for them. And we're going to level with people. We will not raise taxes on any family that makes $250,000 or less in this country.
So that's different than Bernie Sanders' plan, which is what Elizabeth Warren right now seems to be
adopting.
We're
supposed to believe that.
I mean,
you know what? Beto, Elizabeth Warren, the Democrats, their whole motto is to tax the American people and to pay for everything. I mean, what was it? AOC even came out and said, hey, if you don't even feel like working, if you don't want to work, the government will pay you not to work. That sounds like a wonderful deal. I mean, it's almost like Gaines saying, hey, we'll give you $1,000 for sitting on your butt every day and doing nothing. It's amazing how that works. The Democrats, they want to give, they want to take from the rich and the not so rich and give it to themselves. Firepowernews.com. We'll be back.
Now to the issue of candidates and their health. Senator Sanders, I want to start with you. I want to start. We're moving on, Senator. I'm
healthy.
Sorry.
I'm feeling great, but I would like to respond to that question.
I want to start by saying.
And Senator Sanders is in favor of medical marijuana. I want to make sure that's clear as well.
Senator Sanders, this debate does
tonight.
Mark your this debate.
And he says, I'm not on it right now.
This debate, does mark your return to the campaign trail. Okay, go ahead and finish your question.
And he's not on it right now. I mean, maybe he should have been on it because, you know, Bernie, you have to give it to Bernie. He went under the knife, a heart attack. I mean, and he's still kicking it. You know, you have to give it to him. I'm not wishing ill on him. But, you know, you have to give it to him. Oh, man, after having a heart attack and then he get on stage for 3 hours and lie to the American people, you have to be good. You have to be pretty good to be able to do that and keep it up. I mean, look at him. Bernie's been lying for all these years in Congress. So, you know, I mean, so it's crazy. Welcome back, everyone. Tom, so now let's go on down here to, how they want to silence President Trump and the American people. So one of the things, you know, they've been calling for President Trump to be removed from social media because, well, Kamala Harris said that he has 65 million followers. And with those 65 million, I'm pretty sure at least 5 million of them are anti-Trump, just completely hateful and don't care for him. So with 65 million followers, she's saying that he should not be able to have his speech and be able to talk to the American people.
Warren, I just want to say that I was surprised to hear that you did not agree with me that on this subject of what should be the rules around corporate responsibility for these big tech companies, when I called on Twitter to suspend Donald Trump's account, that you did not agree, and I would urge you to join me, because here we have Donald Trump, who has 65 million Twitter followers, and is using that platform as the President of the United States to openly intimidate witnesses, to threaten witnesses, to obstruct justice. He and his account should be taken down. We saw in El Paso that shooter,
does she have a swastika on her shoulder?
Informed by how Donald Trump uses that platform.
No, this
and this is a matter of corporate responsibility.
Needed.
Twitter should be held accountable and shut down that site. It is a matter of safety and corporate accountability.
Thank you, Senator.
My goodness.
Warren,
you know what? This just irks me to no end. She's calling to have the President of the United States silence because he is saying something that she doesn't agree with. Now, you know, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is up there and they're all talking about, no, we shouldn't shut it down. And they're not even saying, no, we should not shut President Trump's Twitter page down. They didn't come out and say those words, but they know for a fact, if they were to shut down President Trump's Twitter and where he can no longer talk to everyone, he's going to go to another platform. All he has to do is announce it. But the problem with that is that they know if they do President Trump, what's to stop them from being silenced once they jump on Twitter and get 65 million people. And that's where Elizabeth Warren and the rest of them are thinking. Go ahead, Tom.
Will, that was such a fascinating part of the debate to see how the Democrat brain works, because if we were to rewind that clip a little bit, that was part of a greater discussion about what the Democrats, the candidates want to do about big tech. And one of the things that Elizabeth Warren is famously saying is, oh, well, Facebook was used by the Russians to interfere in the 2016 election. We need to break up Facebook. We need to break up Twitter. Go after these companies with antitrust because we can't let another Republican win, because we can't have this election meddling. And so as if that were not crazy enough, you then have Kamala Harris go in and say, well, not only should we do that, we should ban President Trump from Twitter. It's just they're piling on top of the crazy. But Will, what's fascinating, and it's just broke today, we're working on an article for it. I believe InfoWars might already have an article up on InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. Twitter is essentially bowing to what Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, Goofus, wants to do. And what they're going to do is put some tweets by President Trump and other world leaders into a sort of quarantine state. So you can't reply to them. You can't retweet them. You can't do anything with these tweets. They go out, but nobody sees it. Nobody can interact with it. They're doing exactly what Elizabeth Warren wants. And I hope these big tech lunatics, these control freaks, these cretins are learning that they've dug their own grave and they're being pushed into it now by the Democrats. Because in 2017, the Democrats came out and said, social media companies, what you've done is despicable. You've allowed a Republican to win. Change your platform so another Republican can never win. And they did that, Will. They banned Alex Jones. They banned so many people. And now still, after 2.5 years of nonstop bannings, deplatforming, the purge, everything you can name, they've done it. The Democrats are still saying, nope, not enough. We're going to break you up. How dare you let conservatives on your platform at all? And meanwhile, you've got the Trump administration pushing hard against Facebook. So they're between a rock and a hard place, but they have chosen to be there. And these crazy Democrats are going to be the end of big tech.
No, you're absolutely right. Because they're not attacking conservatives enough. You know what makes me think about when you were just talking? It made me think about when they passed the whole same-sex marriage law. And then after that wasn't enough. So then next thing you know, pedophilia came into place, and then transgender, and then, you know, teaching kids in schools that you can be transgender, teaching kids in schools about same sex, and how to have the How the Sex Act, because you give them one thing and then they take it and run with it and try to add this onto it and that onto it. There's never an end to what when it comes to these Democrats. Same thing with our gun laws. As soon as the NRA, like you just said, mentioned a minute ago, as soon as the NRA gives a little bit, then the Democrats want more. Soon as they start taking away particular guns like the bump stock, then guess what? They want more. Just because Beto or Robert Francis O'Rourke is talking about the AR-15 and the AK-47, if they successfully get to that point, then guess what's after that? More handguns at that point. We're not going to have anything. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile from you. So Kamala Harris said that she would use the DOJ. Let's go to this clip because she's talking about she would use the DOJ to enforce abortion or include abortion. Why? What in the world does the DOJ have to do with abortion? Let's go to this clip and talk about it.
States prevail on restricting abortion. What's your plan to stop them?
My plan is as follows. For any state that passes a law that violates the Constitution, and in particular Roe v. Wade, our Department of Justice will review that law to determine if it is compliant with Roe v. Wade and the Constitution, and if it is not, that law will not go into effect. That's called preclearance. Because the reality is that while we still have, as I said earlier, these state legislators who are outdated and out of touch, mostly men who are telling women what to do with their bodies, then there needs to be accountability and consequence. But, you know, I'll go further.
You know what? That's crazy. You know what, Tom? Let me ask you this. Is Roe versus Wade part of the U.S. Constitution?
I was thinking the same thing, Will. I mean, that was a court decision, a very high court, but nonetheless. And I'm not quite sure which amendment. It must be one of the later ones where my memory gets fuzzy, because I did not know that a right to murder an unborn baby was enshrined in the Constitution.
Thank you.
I'm no constitutional scholar. I mean, apparently she is.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, when she said that, I'm like, what do you mean? And they're all like clapping in the background. Yes, yes. You're going to use
that was the InfoWars clap track, honestly. I couldn't decide if that was real or fake.
They were like, yes, yes. We're going to enforce everyone, all these states. And what are they going to do? Lock people up if you don't comply by killing the unborn child? I mean, it's Satan all throughout. I mean, seriously, Satan has taken over the Democrat Party. Be honest with you, a lot of people say the Democrat Party is not the same Democrat Party. I beg to differ. I think the only thing now is that because of President Trump, the election of President Trump, we're just seeing the Democrat Party for who they truly are. And that's my opinion on it. So no, we have another one.
Let's hear this clip. I'm sorry, Will. Let's hear the clip.
I was going to go to one with Tulsi Gabbard, where she's talking about abortion. And you know what? I do like her. But I just don't like the fact that she goes against her own morals. You know, she'll say one thing and she'll go against it. Let's go to that clip.
Congresswoman Gabbard, your response.
This is often one of the most difficult decisions that a woman will ever have to make. And it's unfortunate to see how in this country it has for so long been used as a divisive political weapon. I agree with Hillary Clinton on one thing, disagree with her on many others. But when she said abortion should be safe, legal and rare, I think she's correct. We see how the consequences of laws that you're referring to can often lead to a dangerous place, as we've seen them as they're passed in other countries, where a woman who has a miscarriage past that 6 weeks could be imprisoned because abortion would be illegal at that point. I do, however, think that there should be some restrictions in place. I support codifying Roe v. Wade while making sure that during the third trimester, abortion is not an option, unless the life or severe health consequences of a woman.
Interesting. You know, I mean, she flips one way, then she'll go another way. She's too much of a flip-flopper. All right, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We'll be back after this.
Real news. Real people. Real politics. And now, Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back. So, let me come from behind the podium here. I want to talk about the Super Silver Skin Cream. This Super Silver skin cream is absolutely wonderful. Now, I moved from California to Texas, and in California, the humidity is not as high as it is in Texas, but it's like a dry heat. But for some reason here in Texas, I think because some of the water and stuff like that, my hands have been really dry. And maybe because I've been doing a lot of work around the house and yard work, and my hands get really dry. And with this super, let me bring it right here. The Super Silver Skin Cream, it is so amazing. It is so amazing. And I like to take it, and I put some on the back of my hand here. And I don't know if you can see that my hand is really dry. And I said, this is the perfect time for me to do it and demonstrate it. Once I put this in and I rub it in, and it doesn't, once you rub it in, it doesn't leave this, like this film that you normally see with some of the lotions, right? And it don't even feel like it, at least for me. Now, I can't say this for everybody, but for me, I don't have that film on my hand. It's like, it kind of like refreshing to my hand. And I love the way it feels. I mean, I really do. And I just rub it all in, and it feels really good, really good. And I love this stuff. And the reason, one of the main reasons why I like to talk about the supplements and the skin cream is because they actually work. Have you ever known to go somewhere and you go to the store and you see different products sitting on the shelf and you wonder, will this product work? Will that product work? Which one will work for me? This one works for me. And I didn't go up and down the aisles in the store trying to figure out which one will work for me. This one works. And next thing I know, for the next 4 to 5 hours, my hands feel just completely smooth. And I'm not saying to try to get people to buy it, because InfoWarsStore.com is our sponsor, but I'm saying it because it actually works. Now, I mainly talk about the products that I use, because then I have my personal experience with them. My personal experience with the super silver skin cream is absolutely wonderful. Now, we also have one of my favorites is the Turbo Force. I know we had Tom. I think Tom is still there. But Tom and I, when he was here last time, we did I had him do the Turbo Force Orange Juice Challenge. And Tom, right. You know, I love that video, because I sometimes just sit there and watch it, because I love the expression on your face of having you try it that first time. And then you try to, you're like, wow, this is just great. You know?
Well, you know, Will, it's got a great taste. You know, one thing, I love orange juice with breakfast. It's a good drink, but it's always very bitter, and you almost kind of do one of these after you take a gulp of it. But with the Turbo Force, and of course, this isn't a sugary product, folks. You can look at the ingredients. I don't even know if sugar is an ingredient in Turbo Force, but I drink it down, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you can still taste the orange juice, but it's not tart anymore. It's sweet. And oh my goodness, I was wired. It was night and day. That was fairly early in the morning we did that, and I just immediately popped awake. But I do also have to do a plug, because I am a big fan of the Super Silver Skin Cream as well. I was actually using the wound gel. I had a frustrating, I was working here in the studio and I banged up my hand on something, not even sure what it was, but it was just days and days and days, and it was just not getting better. So I started using the wound gel on it, and that did a good job. And then when I found out that they had this product here, the Super Silver Skin Cream on InfoWarsStore.com, I thought, well, let's give it a try. And folks, I mean, it was almost night and day, like you're talking about, Will. It was maybe 2 or 3 days of using it. The little banged up hand problem was gone. And the dry skin was gone. Everything you can say about it. Now, I also have to say, I've got one of these here that's on screen right now. I cannot say enough nice thing about Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle when traveling. It's that time of year. The kids are getting sick. A couple spritzes and you'll be good to go.
I haven't tried that one, but I'm going to pick that one up next. So then that way I can talk about it as well. All right, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We'll be back after this.
Firepowernews.com. Firepower with Will
Johnson.
Welcome back to Firepower. I'm, of course, Tom Patrick, co-hosting here with Will Johnson. Our guest for this segment and the next is Kim Coulter, of course, wonderful niece of Ann Coulter. That's good. You'll see why that's relevant here in just a moment. And Kim is a fantastic journalist in her own right. She writes for me at National Files. She's had pieces published at The Rundown, and she is a podcast host for Culture. And so she is, I mean, it's phenomenal what this young lady has been able to get done. She obviously has a great head on her shoulders and a big brain, but Kim had the audacity to have a birthday party here recently, and happy birthday, Kim, but had this terrible, terrible thing that she did. You see, she had two very dangerous people at this festive occasion. She had Ann Coulter and Milo Yiannopoulos. So, Kim, welcome to Firepower.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, thanks for coming on. So I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about what happened at this horrible event? Again, I can't believe you would do such a thing as to have a birthday party.
I know. A simple gathering of individuals getting together to have a nice dinner at a nice place. You know, however did we think of doing such an atrocity or committing such an atrocity on mankind and then photographing it and daring to share it on the internet? I'm beside myself. I don't know what came over me.
Is it because it's showing people who, you know, love this country, taking a picture and saying the word happy without including the left's happy?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think it more so has to do with the fact that we're trying to brainwash people into even seeing the imagery of somebody that they've deemed dangerous as something they should be offended or, you know, triggered by.
You know, Kim, I think you're onto something there. And so to walk through what happened, because for those who don't know what we're referencing, you wrote an article for it on National File. You had this birthday party. Ann Coulter was there. Milo Yiannopoulos was there. You're a very blessed person to have both these people show up at your birthday, I think. And Twitter almost immediately, from my understanding, decided that this is sensitive content and it's very graphic and users should have to opt in if they want to see something as horrifying as that. So how did that happen? Was it just instantly as soon as you uploaded it, or what was the process?
You know, I can't tell you exactly when it happened, but it did feel almost immediately that one of my followers took a screenshot of it and added it to the comments, basically saying, oh no, look at what Twitter did. So of course it was pretty immediate, basically.
I mean, so one of the things I was reading on here that said that the post read, you enjoyed a very pleasant dinner with friends and family. I mean, this is bad, and now friends and family is bad. Do you think there's ever any end to the left like this?
No, I don't think there is. I think that we're perpetually seeing it getting crazier, and people are getting more inclined to call things that aren't offensive offensive just because of the association, you know, guilty by association on a mass scale.
So, Kim, I think you're dead on, by the way, but you actually reached out to Twitter in your capacity as a journalist for National File, and something happened to you as a result that I have never seen happen before. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't even get the opportunity to reach out to Twitter support, because when I went to go to the DMs of my Twitter and I typed in, you know, Twitter support, the area where I was normally allowed to be typing in a message was blank and a little, I don't know the exact wording, but it said, you know, this has been disabled. Your ability to message this account has been disabled. And I actually at Twitter support a lot in terms of free speech violations and little things that, you know, get by Twitter support and otherwise. So I at them a lot. So maybe that's part of it. But even then, I shouldn't be disabled from messaging them. I feel like that's crazy.
I mean, it's almost like you're going into the store or let's say a fast food restaurant and you want to buy fries and they say, no, but you're cooking fries right there. Why can't I buy them? No, because you bought fries last time. No, it's insane. You know what, Twitter, Twitter, Facebook, Google, they're all the same. They all want to stop people from communicating, and I call it a war tactic. They want to stop us from communicating, and maybe they got offended because I think if this is the correct picture, there's what, four people, and you're all white, and that's bad? I bet you that's the problem.
Not diverse enough.
That's probably it. That's probably it.
Well, I said this before. It's not even, you know, they deem the okay sign bad, and they deem, you know, peace signs as meaning two genders, even though both of those things were made up on 4chan, and that's totally provable. But it's not even like that was involved. It's not like we, you know, had Pepe the Frog photobombing in the back or, you know, anything outrageous. It was just people genuinely, you know, in a group shot smiling. And I can't tell you on what planet that would be deemed an offensive photo, and in what universe, and it just doesn't make any sense when you put any thought into it.
Mm. Well, and it is flabbergasting that they would then block you from contacting support. I mean, Twitter has never responded to a journalistic inquiry from me before. Facebook has numerous times, and it seems unprecedented that they would then take the step. I mean, it sounds like that's what happened. Perhaps it is, perhaps it's not, but it sounds like it could have been a glitch. Who knows? But it sounds like they likely blocked you from ever contacting Twitter support. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that. So, Kim, I definitely want to talk more about big tech with you, but you had kind of an interesting way to get into politics. I mean, you are a member of the Coulter family, but you were not necessarily trying to become Ann's protege. You weren't even a political person, and from my understanding, until fairly recently. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for, I mean, a really long time, I was avidly against anything right wing, and I through, you know, a lot of scolding from teachers and you know, fellow peers, I was given a lot of like, well, you wouldn't believe in that because they're Nazis and you don't want to be thought of as a Nazi, right? So of course it was socially petrifying to be considered as part of that. But then I got to meet fantastic people through Anne, and the more I started to learn about these people on an individual level, the more I realized this is a horrible thing that's happening. This is, you know, people are trying to, the mainstream media in specific is trying to control how we feel about people who are brave enough to speak out against crazy ideology and label them as bad people. So in the beginning, even though I didn't fully consider myself right leaning, I was like, I need to be an advocate for these people because to call them Nazis is a great injustice. And the more I got into that, the more I realized, oh yeah, I guess my own leanings do actually go right, and what I've been taught is left is not so. And I have a unique position wherein I can, you know, raise my voice about these kinds of policies and problems, and I want to be able to use that for altruism.
That's awesome. You know, I kind of have the similar story, but you know, now they call me a white supremacist. They do it all the time. Maybe because they identify me as a white supremacist, and you know, so they're trying to gender me or whatever it is, identify something. You know, it's really crazy.
It redefines not seeing color.
Say it again.
It redefines not seeing color.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I'm reading through the article. So they were forcing users to opt in to see a happy birthday picture. I mean, come on. How far are they going to go with all this? You know, I mean, come 2020, you know, they're going to shut down more conservatives, more people who communicate with each other. And we all see it coming. I mean, they just did a whole ban against a whole bunch of Latinos because they support President Trump. And, you know, the left has already put strike on people simply because you're white. And if you support President Trump, you're a neo-Nazi. It's just, they have no more brain cells. And I think Tom says that, how do you say it, Tom? If they're still alive or if they have their brain cells are room temperature.
If only they had an IQ above room temperature, they
would understand exactly
the depravity of what they're doing right now. So I know we're getting ready to approach a break here, but when we get back, Kim, I know that you probably have better things to do than watch a Democrat debate. At least I certainly hope you do. We had to watch it last night. We watch it so normal folks don't have to. But last night they were going to the furthest extremes I've ever seen on big tech. You had Kamala Harris begging Elizabeth Warren to join her in calling for banning President Trump's Twitter. And I'd love to know what you think about that, banning the United States sitting president from the platform. But I know we're getting ready to go off to break before too long. Will, please correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, we're right at 10 seconds. So we'll get that answer when we come back. Okay. Firepowernews.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Firepower News. I am Tom Pappert, co-hosting here with Will Johnson. Our guest for this segment is Kim Coulter. Up next, we'll have Deanna Lorraine, who is going to do her best to unseat Nancy Pelosi. But Kim, before we went to break, I was asking your thoughts on the new push. This is the most insane we've ever had. You have a presidential candidate pledging that if she is president, she will put pressure on Twitter in the name of corporate responsibility to take out President Trump's Twitter account and make it so President Trump or any other future person like him won't be allowed on Twitter. What do you think of this? What are the implications?
Well, the implications are quite scary because it means that everything that everyone who has come before this has been warning of is true. It means that when we were warned that we're next, we really are next. Anybody that's, there's going to be another big purge of conservative-leaning voices on the internet. It is coming. It's unavoidable with the way that we've been spiraling in terms of censorship of not only people but ideas. And the idea that somebody who is running for president would push for further violations on our free speech by saying that they get to be some sort of moral beacon and decide what is safe and what is tolerable for the people to be able to have access to. It's very dystopian. It's very fascist, and it doesn't, you know, correlate at all with our ideals or the proper American ideals of freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
Yeah, you know what? I completely agree with you. And one of the things that we have with the left, because they've been removing so many conservatives, and I liked what Tom said earlier, how you have your socialism is not as good as my socialism, and they want to use all of that and implement it and push it to all of us with on these social, I like to call them socialist media platforms. Because yeah, it's digital book burning, for example, like on Facebook, you put your life on Facebook, pictures, family pictures, you talk about your political views, you talk about your religious views, just to have someone at Facebook not like what you say and just pretty much digitally delete your Facebook. I mean, they are the true fascists in this country. Do you see it increasing the closer we get to 2020? Or do you think they're going to be like, okay, well, maybe we should back off doing it so it doesn't look like we are the fascists, or you think they're going to go for broke?
I mean, they're already going for broke, in my opinion. They're bragging about it. They're talking about how they're succeeding in the war against defeating the fascists from being able to spread, you know, false information on the internet. They're bragging about the fact that people, you know, like Alex Jones don't get allowed on anything other than, you know, InfoWars. They brag about the fact that their ideas are pushed first on Google searches. They talk about how this is a victory for them. They talk about how, you know, it empowers them because it's part of the fight against, you know, what they deem to be the Nazis or whatever other ideologue, you know, they want to misrepresent.
I think you're right. I think that it's going to get much, much worse before it gets better. One of the things you and I have talked about off the show when we were preparing for this, and we were kind of talking about can you come on, is they're creating, in a sense, echo chambers. And it was, of course, Matt Drudge who came on Alex Jones 3 or 4 years ago now to warn that first they're going to put everybody into an internet ghetto where you're only talking to the same group of people over and over again and you're not reaching anybody new. And then once you're in this ghetto and nobody, as a result, knows about you anymore, they've forgotten about you, then they will ban you. So can you talk a little bit about, again, what does this mean for free speech and free expression and the marketplace of ideas that so many people are being banned like this?
Well, essentially what it means is that big tech censorship, as we think about it, has a far bigger reach. It reaches people who aren't the bigger names, who don't have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. It's channeling the information that people even on lower levels of following get to see. It's making sure that you're only seeing the tweets from people who are saying the same things that you are. It's making sure that, you know, the specific articles are being funneled. And the way that that's going to direct free speech in the future is very frightening, because that's essentially the beginning processes of eliminating free speech. That's, you know, that's controlled opposition in a nutshell. That's people who have power using that power to only allow certain bits of information, and that gets more powerful every day. And I believe that the president should be stepping in more on stuff like that, because we're living in an age where that's having influence on the way that people think and the way that people live their lives and the way that people interact, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, you know, personally, I think because Twitter, Facebook, Google, all of these big tech companies, they operate and, you know, they started out of America. And for them, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean we lose our freedom of speech. You know, for some reason, they believe that they get to control or make up the law that exists on the internet, and that the U.S. government, we as American people, we don't have a say so. I know at one point they were trying to, they were going to charge people to go to certain websites even, because they want to control all of that. Do you think that it's possible that this is, I mean, we know how what's happening over in China and with the whole social score. Do you think this is just something for them to get gear us to become part of this whole social score for all of us? I mean, and then, you know, remove people who don't comply.
Well, in a sense, I honestly feel as though these this form of censorship is a way for them to have us self-implement that kind of social that social score. It makes us comfortable with it because it makes it seem like we're the ones who are choosing to do so. And I fear the end of that line is it not being optional anymore, as it is. It already is not optional in a lot of ways, but I feel that as this problem gets bigger, the idea of social credit isn't going to freak so many people out.
You just gonna comply.
I think that you're totally right, and we're already seeing that. I mean, that is, of course, why Alex Jones was taken down. They told him, you know, don't talk about transgenderism, don't talk about the LGBTQP agenda, don't talk about these certain subjects, keep criticizing the police, keep criticizing this group, that group, the other group, keep being anti-Republican, and you'll be fine. He refused to comply, and so now he's not allowed. You can't even post a photo. He's just like Milo and Ann, apparently. You can't post a photo. That's so, Kim, ridiculous. I wonder... Can you tell us where, I mean, you're a busy, busy person these days. You've got five different irons on the fire at any given time. Where can folks read you? Where can they listen to you? And where can they follow you?
Well, you can find my stuff at the National File and at the Rundown News, but you can also follow my handle at Twitter at Coulter Culture. That's where you can also find me on Instagram and on BitChute. I've been releasing BitChute videos, so it'd be good if you guys went over and supported that. But as always, just keep up with, you know, my articles on the National File and on the Rundown News, because my main goal is to, you know, help people understand what's going on in a way that doesn't feel like it's being pushed. And I want people to be informed, not scared.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on with Tom and myself. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And, you know, we should take a picture together at some point in the future, and then maybe they'll say, oh, it's violent, a black man with a white female. Oh, my goodness, what's going on? Get rid of them, get rid of them. But thank you for coming on with us. All right, everybody, firepowernews.com, Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We have another guest on after the break. We're going to get back into the debate and censorship and Nancy Pelosi and impeachment. All right, we'll be back.
Truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
Welcome back to Firepower with me, Tom Papert, co-hosting with Will Johnson. Our guest for the rest of this broadcast is Deanna Lorraine. She's come back on the show, and what a perfect day for it. She is, of course, running against Nancy Pelosi, trying to unseat this third-rate politician, is what President Trump called her today. Pelosi, of course, went on a massive tirade. She had a tantrum. She stormed out of a meeting with the president, and then she and Chuck Schumer did a little press conference where they essentially cried in front of the camera. So, Deanna, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. I love being on your show.
Thanks for coming back. So you've got to tell us exactly. I mean, this is President Trump reportedly called Nancy Pelosi a third-rate politician. She responds by storming out of the room, growing and crying in front of a TV camera. Is this representing the people of California?
definitely not representing the people of California. It might be representing the communists of California, the commie fornicans, but no, not the people of California. We don't want this. We don't want this behavior. We don't want someone who's going to storm out of the White House. You know, this is what puts woman a bad name in office. You know, these emotional temper tantrums. When people say they don't want to see women in leadership positions, this is why. She's the poster child for that with her emotional outbursts. She can't even have an adult conversation with the president of the United States. She always seems to cut these meetings short, these very important meetings, and then goes and cries about it in a separate room. So we don't want someone like this in office. We want someone who's going to handle business, get solutions, and fix the real problems that Americans are dealing with.
Absolutely, Will.
Okay, yeah, welcome back to the broadcast with us. You know, and I know you're running against her in California for San Francisco, right?
Yes.
So, do you think with her acting like this, this should really help out your campaign against her in the up and coming election? With her having this tantrum like this, this is something that's becoming a reoccurring thing with her. Do you think the American people, or do you think those on the left, recognize that maybe she should, you know, be replaced after all these years and she's not doing anything? And I would tend to agree with President Trump. She's a third rate politician.
Of course, she's a third rate politician. You know, and most of the nicknames that Donald Trump gives these people, they're accurate, they're spot on, and they hate him for saying what everyone else is thinking. She needs to go. She is the poster child for term limits. And you know what the crazy thing is? I was actually just doing an interview tour last week in San Francisco with a bunch of the people there, just not even knowing what political side of the aisle they were on first. But I was asking them how they felt about Nancy Pelosi and her leadership. And the crazy thing about that is most of the Democrats that I polled, they said whatever she does, they love. So her actually leaving and throwing this temper tantrum, they see that as a sign of strength. They see that as she's standing up to the president. She is fighting for the dear Americans that hate our country and think he's a traitor so much. That's who she's standing up for. That's how they perceive it. So she could sort of do no wrong in a lot of these people's eyes. And that's what's a really scary thing. But for those people that are more of the moderates, and yes, there are some, for those that are more independent and they're sane and rational people, they see this as just another black eye on her, and they say, you know what, how can I continue to support someone or a party that throws these kinds of crying temper tantrums and doesn't get things done? She's always smoke screening. She's always changing the subject or storming out and blaming Trump for every single thing when she could be spending that time and that energy focused on the real problems that Americans are dealing with, or even maybe the problems in her own district, which are like the homeless on the streets and the feces on the floor. That might be a good start, Nancy. Maybe prioritize your time a little bit better than beating up unnecessarily on our president. It's really the boy who cried wolf too. Every single day, it's just another tirade against our president of the United States. It's such a waste of energy. And I think most of the American people, they just want to move forward. They want to see a country prospering. They want to see a country united. We're just not getting that from Nancy and the Democrat leadership.
So one of the other shenanigans that Nancy Pelosi has been getting up to is, of course, we have this impeachment inquiry, which is going nowhere slowly, and she is now refusing to call a vote. And many sources have said that this is because many Democrats are in vulnerable seats that the state at least was carried by President Trump in 2016. And they know that they will likely lose if they try to push impeachment. So do you think, I mean, what is Nancy Pelosi's, what is her thought process here? This makes the Democrat Party look extremely weak, in my opinion. What do you think?
I would love to know what her thought process is. Unfortunately, I'm not a psychopath, so I can't decide. I can't think of exactly what she's thinking right now. And I'm not a maniacal, senile old witch. But from what I gather, she's still thinking that this is, and by the way, I'm happy that I'm not. So I can't exactly put myself into her mind. But what I gather is she still hasn't learned her lesson from the last 4 years. She still thinks that this is somehow a winning strategy that's going to be winning over hearts and minds into the Republic, into the Democrat Party. And they will continue to blame and scapegoat Donald Trump while the rest of Americans are moving on, wearing our red hats, waving our American flags, going to his rally and celebrating America. So just like in 2016, you know, they're going to think this is a winning strategy. And look, there's a lot of people that actually are dumping on Nancy because they believe that she hasn't been strong enough on impeachment. A lot of the Democrats feel like she's not doing enough of her job and she needs to leave because she's not strong enough on impeachment. So we really are facing a very scary culture war right now. We're facing a big divide. But I believe that he is going to win in more of a landslide than he did before. And the reason why is because I just think that so many of these more moderate, you know, the classic JFK Democrats and those that are more on the fence that maybe didn't vote for Trump before, I think they're just so sick and tired of this blaming and shaming game. They're sick and tired of her spending time on the complete wrong priorities, gender pronouns, impeaching the president who has the best economy in history, the lowest unemployment rate in decades. You know, go ahead and impeach the best president ever and let's see what that does. A lot of people are sick and tired of it, and that's what's exciting.
You know what? I think this is going to end up hurting the Democrat Party more than helping. And I think part of this, part of the reason why they're not taking the vote on the floor for impeachment right now, because be honest with you, I don't think they have the votes. You go over to the liberal media. Yeah. You go over to liberal media and they keep saying, oh, they have the votes. They have the votes. But we know just after the Project Veritas video that CNN, they blatantly lie about everything to convince the American people that President Trump should be impeached. Do you think with them constantly doing this and them sticking to the guns with all the lies, do you think that this is going to end up be the downfall of the Democrat Party?
I do. I think this is going to be, because here's what they do. They constantly, instead of apologizing or taking feedback from Americans, like, you know, this isn't really working. Maybe we should focus on real news or real problems that can help Americans. They continue to focus on these nonsense BS issues. First it was Russia, then it's the Mueller trial, and now it's Ukraine and impeachment. So, you know, it's really a losing battle. And instead of shifting their focus, they just continue to double down. Most people, I think, are really tired of this. And who's going to be the replacement of President Trump anyway? Is it going to be Mike Pence, who's even more conservative than President Trump? I mean, who are they thinking is going to fill his shoes if they did replace him? A lot of people that are smart and that are with it and mentally sound do get that. And I think it's going to be really a losing battle. They're truly overplaying their hand here. And it's going to turn out the same way that it did in 2016 with Trump victorious. I think that he's even going to win by a larger margin then. And the other upshot about this is all the news outlets, except for maybe Fox News and InfoWars, will be totally discredited. And no one will really believe anything they say anymore. And it's already getting to that point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. Then I'm pretty sure Tom Pepper will have another question for you. So, all right, everyone. We are talking about Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats wanting to impeach President Trump, not taking the vote on the House floor. And we're talking to the candidate that should and will beat Nancy Pelosi. We'll be back after this break. FirepowerNews.com.
Welcome back to Firepower. This has been a fantastic night. I'm co-hosting with Will Johnson. Our guest for the rest of this broadcast is Deanna Lorraine, who is running against Nancy Pelosi, the Wicked Witch of the West. Really, I believe that's Deanna's quote, more or less. And to unseat her come the 2020 election, Nancy Pelosi, of course, has had just a fantastic day, crying, running away from the president, pouting before the media. But enough about what's happening now. Deanna, let's talk about Pelosi's district, because it is, in many consider, in complete and utter shambles and disrepair. People have to be afraid when they use mass transit because there might be needles exposed. And you recently led a cleanup to try to get rid of some of the refuse that has piled up on Nancy Pelosi's watch. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it went?
Sure. I should have worn my hazmat suit for this interview, because that's a fun thing to wear in your own district. No, last week I led a cleanup. It's called the San Francisco Day of Action, and I went through the streets. A bunch of volunteers that just came out with me. We had a group of about a dozen or 15 people or so, that came out. We wore hazmat suits. We wore gloves. We got garbage bags, sexy cleaning gear. And we just went through the streets of the most dangerous and garbage-ridden territory of San Francisco, which is known as the Tenderloin area, the Tenderloin District. And we just went through the streets and cleaned up garbage. And, you know, there was a lot of garbage to clean. There was, God, probably the biggest thing that we found were syringes, hypodermic needles. And that's why we needed heavy-duty gloves, because it's really scary. You know, we don't know where those needles have been, and a lot of people have died from them. And we went through the streets for about a couple hours, and it was just really sad because, you know, the homeless people, again, you don't know if certain people are dead or alive when you pass through them. There's people shooting up the streets. There's people having sex in tents, going to the bathroom on the sidewalk. And there's just a lot of suffering. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of garbage and grossness in this area. And to me, it just makes me all the more outraged that Nancy Pelosi is focused on things like gender pronouns, things like giving free health care to illegal immigrants, things like impeaching the best president in our history of the United States, when she can't even focus on the problems in her own district, right? That she's not even expending that energy on the Americans that are suffering in her own district. And that's why I'm so excited to run and why I'm passionate about running, because I want to make sure the rest of California, the rest of America does not turn into San Francisco. San Francisco and California, they're like little test tubes, right? They're case studies for the rest of the country. And Nancy Pelosi wants to turn the rest of America into San Francisco. She wants to turn the rest of America into a sanctuary country where illegal aliens, yes, they're aliens, they come in there freely. And they do whatever they want, and we have crime, and we have homelessness on the streets. No law and order. That's what she wants. We're not going to have it. I'm not going to have it, not under my watch.
Let me ask you a question. Once you win and beat Nancy Pelosi out of her seat, are you would you make a pledge to do the opposite of what her and the rest of the Democrats are doing as far as big tech? Would you tell big tech, hey, stop censoring the American people? Because none of them are doing it. I remember Diamond and Silk went up onto the hill, and Diamond and Silk, you know, they were saying that Facebook removed their monetization and Facebook was censoring them. They deemed them as violent, or not necessarily violent, but as sensitive material.
Right.
Would you pledge to say, big tech, stop censoring the American people?
100% I would say that. It's actually in my platform. And by the way, you could go to my website at deannaforcongress.com, see my full platform. You can also help and donate. But in my platform, one of the pillars of my platform is free speech. We need to protect our free speech. This is our God-given free speech. It's what makes America so great. And it's totally under attack. And conservatives especially are getting the attacks the most apart. Our religious liberty is under attack. And no one's really being bold and brave about it. I don't know why anything is not done about it. We need to look into breaking up the big tech companies. We need to stand up for our free speech. And we need to make sure that these tech companies stop this censorship of conservatives and conservative ideas. And also, today it might be conservative ideas. What if tomorrow it's liberals and liberal ideas that are being censored? You know, people come here to America because they love this free speech. It's what makes America, America. And it is probably one of the biggest threats to our democracy right now than any other threat. You know, China, Russia, anything else. It's the threat that our free speech is being impinged on and can be taken away, and it's already being whittled away. And I see every day, you know, me being shadow banned or censored. Little things, it starts with little things, but I've noticed something where you put hashtag Christian or hashtag God in an Instagram post. Or a Facebook post, and I wouldn't be able to, suspiciously, I won't be able to post it. What's going on? If I post something about Islam or Muslims or Black Lives Matter, I can't post it. What's going on? Why are we being censored? This is treating us also like infants that can't decide for ourselves what's good or what's bad, and we have to be told what to do and how to think and who to vote for. It's disgusting that anyone would still consider to vote for the Democrat Party when they are the leaders of attacking and ending our God-given free speech. And of course, I will vow to do something about it. I will fight this fearlessly. I don't think enough people are being fearless about it, but we need to fight this fearlessly.
Exactly.
I think you're completely right. I hope when you are a congressperson, I hope that you will push the Republican Party along with you in taking on these big tech giants. So I always, every time we have you on, because I think it is one of the most wholesome experiences and one of the most fascinating backgrounds that you have, tell us a little bit about your book and how you come to politics from a real cultural point of view that we are being really driven apart from one another. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Well, my book is right here. It's called Making Love Great Again. You can get it on Amazon. And the picture that I have on the front cover just epitomizes everything that's wrong and broken in our culture, which is the kissing picture of the sailor on V-Day, which was a very victorious day in America. And why it's so wrong is back in the day that there was something called gender roles. You know, there was masculinity and femininity and relationships and the nuclear family, and it was totally healthy and normal. And we understood as Americans that our strong relationships with the opposite sex, our strong families make America so great. It's what makes a strong America. So a weakened family and weakened relationships between men and women cause America to crumble. So as a relationship coach over the years, I've worked with men and women and couples and families, and I've seen firsthand the rabid effect, the destruction that modern feminism and liberalism, what they call progressivism, has had on the family unit and on our relationships and on our culture. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen men become totally demonized and emasculated. They are falling behind in life and in work and in school to women now because of feminism and the push for women as the future. I've seen how women treat and shame men now, and how broken the family unit has gotten. And it's in my book, I tie it all, I connect all the dots to progressive and feminist ideologies. That's what I learned over the years being a coach. Broken and fatherless homes, they've been directly created by the left, using government to replace the family, removing God and morals from our culture, pushing radical feminism, and demonizing men.
Well,
that's
awesome.
How I came to become so passionate about politics as well, and how I've launched into this, because I'm passionate about making sure our country and our culture is great again.
Well, that's beautiful. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on with us. Once we get closer to the election, you need to come back on with us again. All right, so the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Go to my website and check out my platform.
All right, awesome. Okay, so everyone, last night during the debate, I put a I guess you call it contest or whatever, but it was how many times are they going to say impeachment during a debate? And I said, whoever gets the number closest to the number without going over, you know how it's supposed to go, right? Well, we actually had someone got the number dead on. The production crew here went through and made sure, double checked, triple checked to make sure we got the exact count that came out of the debate for them talking about impeachment. Well, we actually have a winner. And if you guys can put that, the Twitter page up on the screen there, the winner will get a t-shirt, a Trump is your president t-shirt. And Alex Jones said that whoever the winner is will get $1,000 as well. So here it is. And the winner at the bottom of the screen, if you can see it, is Edward. The number, the actual number was 39 and he got it spot on. Now, just to be clear, I took a screenshot 1 hour afterwards, so then that way no one could say that, oh, you just wait until the end and put the number on there. No, I cut it off at the hour, so then that way it would be fair to everyone. So God willing, I will do more of these in the future to get people to participate. We want to be more interactive. All right, so there he is. God bless you. God bless America. God bless President Trump. We will see you tomorrow, God's willing. Trump rally tomorrow. Special broadcast. Good night.